We are going to be going into the word of the Lord here. Before I have you stand, I just want to say that I have been preaching from Isaiah now for about 5 or 6 weeks, and it's sometimes difficult for me I know a guy in South Carolina by the name of Kenneth Gentry, that he can take something that's very complex and he can break it down and he can explain it to where anybody can understand it. And there are some complex theological concepts here in Isaiah. And last week, I tried. And on the way home, I asked Sister Wiggins, I said, man, did I communicate what I was trying to say, or did I just confuse everybody? And of course, Sister Wiggins is always going to tell me that we did. Sister Wiggins is my biggest fan. I knew of one preacher. I'm telling you, I love this woman. I knew of one preacher that he told me, he said, no. He goes, when I preach, he goes, my wife wants to, you shouldn't have said this, you shouldn't have said that, this wrong, this was bad, this was wrong. And Sister Wiggins doesn't do that with me. But I have really, really, really tried to teach Isaiah here, to preach Isaiah. And I feel kind of a need to do this. I want to say this again. Isaiah is quoted more in the New Testament than any of the prophets. There is no other prophet. You know, there's Jeremiah. Jeremiah is quoted. Ezekiel is quoted. Daniel is referred to. In fact, Daniel is quoted in places. But Isaiah, there are more Old Testament quotations of Isaiah. And in fact, some of the passages in Isaiah are quoted in the New Testament in more than one place by more than one person. Paul, I'm going to show you this morning where Paul quotes him. And the same passage that Paul quoted of Isaiah, Peter quotes. So I just really want us to get our hands around this book. And so if we can, if you'll stand with me, I'm going to do something. And when I say that I'm going to do something and you guys are going to roll your eyes, I don't think you're really going to roll your eyes today. I think you're going to be very supportive of whatever I'm going to teach or preach. But I am going to... Have you ever heard a preacher get up and read a text and then preach for 30 or 40 minutes and not even refer back to his text? I'm going to do that today. I'm going to do that today. I'm going to preach not through Isaiah chapter 12 today. Chapter 12 of Isaiah only has 6 verses. I'm not going to be going, we're going to read that as our text. But I will be preaching through it verse by verse next Sunday. If you want to understand Isaiah 12, you really need to know what it's about before you start looking at what it says. And you need to know what is Isaiah 12 about. And before we read this text, is there anybody you've got? I think all of you have Isaiah 12 open. And Carl, you've got it up on the screen. Is there anybody here that says, yeah, this is a familiar passage to me. I've read this. I've heard this referred to. Do you guys recognize Isaiah 12? Yeah, okay, I'm getting some nods. And so we're going to read Isaiah 12. And then I want to preach about it. And then next week, we're going to preach through it. But if you'll allow me to do this, Isaiah 12, verses 1 through 6. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord. For though you were angry with me, your anger turned away that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One, or great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. And I don't do this very often, but Carl, could you put the verse 1 back on the screen? And let's just all of us as a collective body today, this is only 6 verses. Let's read through this together. Here we go. You will say in that day. There we go. You guys, okay, before I go on this word of the Lord here, this is going to be a subject of contention for me and Sister Wiggins on the way home. And she's going to be one of those, I told you so. So Sister Wiggins says that I talk too loud around the house. And she says that I don't even need a microphone because I talk so loud. And so so now I'm going to show Sister Wiggins that you're not right. Now, since I didn't have my microphone on, you guys weren't even able to hear me, were you? Were you able to hear me just fine? Okay. Well, okay, fine. Well, that's yeah. All I can say is on the way home, Sister Wiggins, I don't want to hear it. Okay? I just don't want to hear it. But on a more serious note here, we're going, like I said, this week we're going to preach about Isaiah 12. Next week we will preach through Isaiah 12. We will go verse by verse. But this week we're not going to go through it. We're going to preach about it. Because in order to understand and really have it just knock you down, not, I don't want to say knock you down, but to have that impact on you, you need to know what this chapter is about before you analyze what it says. And believe it or not, this was actually a song that Isaiah wrote. This was a song. You don't really find any recorded places of people in history or anything of people singing it, but this was a song, just like you would go to the Psalms. You know, the Psalms, Psalm 1, you know, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, stands in the way of sinners, sits to see the scornful, his delights in the law of the Lord, and all that. That was a song. Psalm 2 was a song. All of the Psalms are songs that the people of God sang during the Old Testament period. Well, this here, Isaiah 12, these 6 verses, this is a song that Isaiah wrote. And he's praising God. And he's talking, and people are collectively praising God. But who are these people that are collectively praising God? Who are they? And why are they, before you see what they're saying, what they're singing to God, you need to know who were they? And you say, well, Brother Wiggins, how do we know that? And I'm going to answer you in a very, very, very ambiguous way that's going to make you frown and wrinkle and kind of do one of these. Okay? The answer is in the name of Isaiah's son. Isaiah had 2 sons. Isaiah had 2 sons, and the answer of who was singing this song is explained in Isaiah's son's name. And does that sound a little strange to you? Well, if you look in Isaiah 7 and 3, well, let's not go there first. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 18. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 18, God says, Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are signs and portents and Israel from the Lord of hosts. Isaiah was saying, listen, I am a sign to you, Israel. I'm a sign. The sons that I have, they are a sign for you. You need to understand, and this is going to start making sense to you in just a moment. He said, and the thing that's going to sound kind of weird about this is that, Carl, and I'm skipping all over my notes, which means I'm going to botch this so bad, but this is the order I'm going to take it in. Go to 8 and 3. Go to 8 and 3. He says, I went to the prophetess, and she conceived and bore a son. So you're going to say, well, man, that sounds pretty illicit. She was his wife, okay? It's okay. She was his wife. But yet he referred to her as what? Prophetess. He was a prophet. Well, anything as far as her ever prophesying. I mean, you did have women, you know. Miriam was a prophetess. I believe Philip had, was it four daughters or five daughters that prophesied? And upon my servants and upon my handmaidens will I in that day pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that a woman praying or prophesying with her head uncovered dishonors her head. So, no problem there. But we don't ever have where Isaiah's wife, she was called a prophetess here, but we don't ever find where she ever prophesied nothing. And here's what men that know a lot more about the Bible than I do say about that. They say that she bore him Isaiah two sons. God gave the name. They didn't make up these names out of their own heads. God said, name this son one thing, name this son another. These children, we just read the verse where Isaiah says that, and put that verse back up there real quick, Carl, where he says, I and my sons are for a sign to you, Israel. In other words, me and my boys are of prophetic significance to you. And says, behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs to you. Okay? So now go back to where it says, I went to the prophetess. It said that because she didn't necessarily prophesy, but because she bore two sons that were, their names were of deep prophetic significance, it was as though she was birthing a word from the Lord. And so for that reason, Isaiah referred to his wife as a prophetess. And that, you know, that's just no extra charge for that. But he said, I'm for a sign, and my sons are for a sign. And Isaiah, if you remember when we were talking about Isaiah a few weeks ago, in fact, let's go to a passage that we covered a few weeks ago. Carl, go to Isaiah 7 and 3. And if you'll remember, King Ahaz was worried to death. Does anybody remember why was King Ahaz so worried? Anybody remember? Attack from the north. The 10 tribes, those northern 10 tribes that had split away, was going to come down and try to take Jerusalem, and they had Syria with them. And Ahaz, remember I talked about how Ahaz was out there looking at that water supply that flowed into Jerusalem. And how, do you remember how we talked about how that was the vulnerability of Jerusalem? Well, Isaiah, the Lord said to Isaiah, go out and meet Ahaz. And if you look at the end of this verse, it says, meet him at the conduit, the upper pool on the highway. Meet him at that water supply place. But Isaiah, take your son Shear-Jashub with you. Take that boy with you. And remember, the passage says, Isaiah said, I and the sons that God has given me, we are signs for you. Well, believe it or not, does anybody know what the name... Well, before I say that, Ahaz was worried to death because they were going to be attacked, right? Are you with me? Ahaz was worried to death because they were going to be attacked. And Isaiah shows up on the scene. And what did Ahaz need right then and there? What did he need? He had an enemy. If you've got an enemy that's coming to get you and they're bigger than you, they're stronger than you, they got more military might than you, what do you need? Protection? What's another word for protection? Get me out of this. Get me out of this, God. Get me, oh Lord, please. Boom! Deliverance. Give the girl a candy bar. Sister Carol Lee, do you know if you take Isaiah's name and break it down in Hebrew, you want to make a guess on what Isaiah's name means? The Lord delivers. So here is King Ahaz worrying himself to death about this invasion coming in from the north. And God could have called anybody, but God chose to call a man, to call a prophet whose name meant the Lord will deliver. And that's why he said, listen, my sons, we are signs for you guys, Israel. We're signs for you. My name means the Lord will deliver. You just need to believe in God. I don't care how big the enemy looks. I don't care how big the invasion coming from the north is. I'm standing here and my name is the Lord will deliver. You just need to believe. And he said, take your son with you. And Shear-Jashub, your son, Shear-Jashub is two Hebrew words that mean a remnant will return. And let me go, his other son, and boy, I'm going to blow this pronunciation. Isaiah's other son was Mer-Shalal-Hashbaz. I'm going to try that again. Mer-Shalal-Hashbaz. The Hebrew words that mean speed, spoil, haste, and booty. You say, what in the world does that mean? Well, I can't put these words up on the board, but speed and spoil, and then right under it, imagine haste and booty. And you notice how speed and haste are very similar. And you notice how spoil, when an enemy invades and conquers, what do they get? The spoils. Or what's another word for the spoils of war? The booty. And so, that was his other son's name, and his name was speaking prophetically about those northern 10 tribes that were going to come down and that were going to attack Jerusalem. Isaiah's son's name was saying, no, you think you're going to come down and attack us. What's going to happen is you and Syria are going to get wiped out by Assyria, which is going to come in from the northeast. And when it happens, friend, it's going to happen fast. And so my son's name is saying what Isaiah was saying, my son's name is going to, it's describing what's going to happen to those northern 10 tribes when they try to attack Jerusalem. They are going to get, it's going to happen fast, and they are going to become nothing more than spoils of war. Please, am I confusing you? Does anybody feel like they're just going to just fall out on the floor? Not in the spirit, but just out of dizziness, to say, Brother Wiggins, you are got me so messed up right now. You say, what does this have to do with Isaiah 12? Please let me just go on. Do you remember he had that other son, and the other son's name was Sheer Jashub? And does anybody, I said it just a minute ago, what was his name? What did it mean? What was that? A remnant returns. A remnant will return. And you say, Brother Wiggins, how does that fit into it? Well, do you remember a couple of weeks ago when we were preaching out of Isaiah chapter 8? And in Isaiah chapter 8, Isaiah told King Ahaz, you need to trust in God to protect you, not the king of Assyria, but Ahaz, instead of trusting in the Lord, you're going to trust in the king of Assyria. And yes, the king of Assyria is going to come down and he's going to wipe out those 10 tribes. And he's also going to wipe out Syria. But then guess what? He's not going to stop. Just like a river overflows its banks and keeps on flooding, he's going to flood right through those 10 tribes in the north. He's going to flood right through Syria. And then that river is just of his kingdom is just going to flood right in to Judah. In fact, we read it a couple few weeks ago, Isaiah chapter 8, verses 7 and 8. And here's what he said. He says, behold, the Lord is bringing up against them the waters of the river, mighty and many, the king of Assyria. And that king of Assyria is going to knock out those 10 tribes, and he's going to knock out Syria. And it says, in all his glory, and it will rise over all its channels and go over all its banks. And it will sweep after it's done with those 10 tribes in the north. And after it's done with Syria, it's going to sweep right on down south into Judah. Ahaz, you paid the king of Assyria money to protect you. You took that money out of the house of the Lord. You paid him to protect you from them. And then after he's wiped out them, guess what he's going to do? He's coming for you now. He's coming for you. And it says he's going to sweep on into Judah and it's going to overflow and pass on, reaching up to the neck. We talked about this a few weeks ago, about how it would be that if the invasion of Assyria were to be a river, it's like you'd be standing in the river and you'd be all the way up to your neck and only your head would be over the top. Your whole body would be flooded. There would only be a little bit of you that would not be taken. Do you guys remember when we talked about that a few weeks ago? Well, here's the deal. And I don't want anybody making any sarcastic comments here about the size of my midsection or anything. But if I was standing in water up to here, my whole body was engulfed, only the head was sticking out, just like that passage is talking about. Wouldn't you say that the majority of my body is going to be overcome by water, right? And only a small part of me is not overcome by water. That is your righteous remnant. That Israel, that Judah was unbelieving. They weren't trusting God. They weren't following God. And as a judgment against them, Assyria was going to sweep into Judah. And if you read the account of how it happened, that king got all the way down where all he had was one more town to conquer before he got into Jerusalem. Jerusalem was in sight when Assyria finally ran out of steam because God wouldn't let him take. He let him take everything, but he wouldn't let. And I want to tell you something. There were people that lost their land. There were people that lost their homes. They suffered the judgment of God because they did not believe. They did not believe, but there was a righteous remnant. that they were believing in God the entire time. They were trusting in God the entire time. And no matter what their neighbors did, no matter what their community did, no matter what the city that they were living in did, they were still going to follow the Lord. Nothing was going to change in their life. It was a dark time in their history. It was a dark time in Israel. But in the midst of that darkness, there was a righteous remnant, amen, that was still holding on to God. We talked about a couple of weeks ago how Elijah goes into Jezebel's hometown there at Zarephath and thinking, man, city wholly given to Baal worship. But yet there was a little widow woman that talked to Elijah and she invoked the name of the Lord, thereby showing Elijah, they might be worshiping Baal. I'm not. There's always a righteous remnant. And Isaiah's son, Sheer Jashub, his name means a remnant will return. A remnant will return. Are you with me? You look at Isaiah, and it's hard, seemingly hard to understand, because in one place he's blessing, and then right in the very next verse he's cursing somebody. Or he's cursing people, and then right at the same time he's blessing people. And you say, Brother Wiggins, that doesn't make sense. It does make sense if you understand he's talking to two different groups. Let me give you an example. Isaiah chapter 3. Verse 25, your men shall fall by the sword, your mighty men in battle. Her gates shall lament and mourn, and they're going to be empty. Seven women shall take hold of one man in that day, saying, we'll eat our own bread, wear our own clothes, but just let us be called by your name to take away our reproach. You say, what's going on there, Brother Wiggins? In other words, so many men will have gotten killed in battle that the women have no husbands, and says seven women will take hold of one man and say, you don't even have to support me. Just let me be called by your name to take away my reproach. I mean, is that's pretty dismal, isn't it? That's pretty bad. But then the very next verse says, in that day, the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious. You say, no, we're talking about men dying. We're talking men falling by the sword, that the seven women taking a hold of one man. And the very next verse says, oh no, the branch of the Lord is going to be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land shall be the pride and honor of the what? It's not going to go well with the unbelievers. But to the real people of God living in Israel in that day, there was still a silver lining. Now that passage makes sense. Let me show you another one. Isaiah chapter 8, 13, 14, and 15. Says, the Lord of hosts, your honor, the Lord of hosts, him you shall honor as holy. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. And he will become a what? I'd love to talk for a long time about that word sanctuary. There's two different ideas about it. But it would be a rabbit trail. Okay, so I can't do it. But that word sanctuary, there's two very cool ideas about that. But if you will fear him, let him give him honor and respect and honor him as holy, he's going to become a sanctuary to you. But he's also going to be a stone of offense, a rock of stumbling to both houses of Israel, a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And you say, Brother Wiggins, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. He's talking about a blessing of God being a sanctuary to us. And right in the exact same sentence, he's talking about him being a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and a snare and a trap. Well, what is it? There's two different groups of people. There's unbelieving Israel, and there is that righteous remnant. There is that righteous remnant. And that's what's going on here. And I want to, and you're saying, then, and again, am I confusing you too much here? I'm afraid that I'm spinning my wheels here. Interestingly enough, and you say, well, but Brother Wiggins, I'd like to see Christ in some of this, because you said that Christ is in the New Testament. Well, did you know the New Testament quotes Isaiah chapter 3 and quotes it, and that stumbling stone, that rock of offense, is who? The Lord Jesus Christ. And also, it's interesting to me that where it says to honor the Lord, and it honor him as holy, Isaiah said that, but then Peter used the exact same words in his epistle when he said, honor in your hearts Jesus Christ. Honor him as holy. Isaiah said, honor the Lord, the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Honor the Lord in your hearts as holy. Peter used those exact same words and said, honor the Lord Jesus Christ in your hearts. Taking Jesus Christ and exalting his name as the name of the Lord. You see what I'm saying, folks? You say, Brother Wiggins, what about Isaiah 12? I told you I was going to read Isaiah 12 and then not preach from it. Have I even quoted one verse from it? We're going to do that next week. I promise. Before we read Isaiah 12 and see what it says, we need to know what it's about. And let me try something. This is for fun. This is just pure for me. Okay? I tried years ago to memorize Isaiah 12. And I think I've got it all down. I think I can still remember it except verse 5. So, Carl, get the KJV up. Let's put Pastor Wiggins on the spot. When I get to verse 5, it's going, I can do verse 6, but verse 5 gets me, okay? And in that day thou shalt say, is it up on the board yet? Okay. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is, am I close? Is my strength and my song? He also has become my salvation. Am I close? Okay. Behold, God is my salvation. Okay. I told you, listen. I was in my 20s when I memorized this. I can't remember where I parked my car in the parking lot of Walmart. But I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation, and in that day shall you say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, make mention that declare his doings, make mention that his name is exalted, or something like that. And then what's verse 5? In all the earth. All the earth. Then verse 6, oh, cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. If you follow the chronology through Isaiah, here's what happened. And this is, I have preached this whole time to get right here. And you're going to say, Brother Wiggins, you took that long to make this one little statement. What? Oh, my word. No wonder Sister Wiggins' hair is beginning to turn gray. Actually, my hair is the one that's starting to turn gray. Mine is not hers. Mine is. But if you follow the chronology in Isaiah, Ahaz was worried to death about this invasion from the north. Isaiah shows up on the scene, and what does Isaiah's name mean? The Lord will deliver. And he said, I'm for a sign to you, King Ahaz. You just need to believe God. You don't need to trust in the king of Assyria. Just trust in me. And did Ahaz do that? No. So did Assyria come down and wipe out those northern 10 tribes and also wipe out Syria? Yes, he did. But then what did he do? He kept right on coming, came right into Judah, and took the majority of Judah too with him. And a lot of people lost their land. A lot of people lost their, in Judah lost their lives. because they were unbelieving and they just couldn't trust in God. But there was a righteous remnant, the survivors that survived. Put Isaiah 12 and 1, or the first, however much you can fit on the screen. This is the song of the survivors. In order for you to really get the full emphasis of what Isaiah 12 means, you've got to understand who it was written for. It wasn't written for people that didn't trust in God. It was written for the righteous remnant. That, remember one of Isaiah's sons, Sheer, I can't think of his last name, his name meant a remnant will what? Return. In other words, that king of Assyria is going to swipe through, but when he runs out of steam and God runs him off, there's going to be a righteous remnant that's going to still be left standing, much in the way it was in the days of Noah, when the water came and swept them all away, but Noah and his family were standing there. Isaiah 12 is the song of the survivors, the righteous remnant. Next week we'll talk about what this song says. But before we talk about what it says, we need to know who's it about. Who's going to sing it? Let's all stand. I don't have the different psalms to go to explain this. But have you ever been reading in the book of Psalms? And before the psalm actually starts up in the title, it'll say, Psalm of David to be sung by the sons of Korah. Okay? And you say, Korah. I mean, when you say that Korah, does that name Korah, does that give you a good feeling on the inside? No, man, no. Remember, who was Korah? Korah, Dathan, Abiram. Remember how they withstood Moses? And Moses said, if I be a man of God, let the earth open up and swallow you. There's two different accountings of that. And one accounting says that those men went down and died, and their families died with them. There's another accounting of that says that everybody died, but nevertheless, the sons of Korah died not. So they got spared, right? Everybody else got judged. They weren't any better, Sister Wiggins, than anybody of their other cousins or anybody. But for whatever reason, God chose to give mercy to them. So when David would write songs about the mercy of God, he wanted somebody to sing it that really knew what mercy felt. You hear what I'm saying? I have seen, it's amazing, I have seen celebrities get up and sing the national anthem and sing it beautifully, but with no feeling and no emotion. But Brother Lloyd, I've seen veterans that have gone over on a foreign field and fought for this country. I've seen videos of them singing. Their voices aren't near as good, but when they sing it, tears run down their cheeks. Just like the sons of Korah, David said, no, if we're going to sing about grace, if we're going to sing about mercy, I want somebody that can sing it with all their heart. Get the sons of Korah in here. They know what grace and mercy is. Isaiah 12 is the song of the survivors. Nobody could sing Isaiah 12 any better than that righteous remnant that through all of the trouble, through all of that Assyrian invasion, that Isaiah typified it as like a river, similar to a river just flooding its banks and just flooding through the land, to where everything was covered but the head up. Nobody could sing better about God bringing us through that. That, oh, it was rough. And, oh, it was hard. And, oh, it was a dark time. But God brought it through us. Brought us through it. Only that righteous remnant could sing that song. And Isaiah 12 is the song. Sung by the survivors, the righteous remnant. And you know what? If I could attain to anything in this life, it would not be to make a ton of money, although I wish I had more of it. It would not be to have a great big huge house, although I would love to have a bigger one. I'd love to have all those things. But if I could attain any goal, it would be part of that righteous remnant. That righteous remnant. Sister Jackie, I want to be able to be there on that day and sing the song of the redeemed. I want to sing it when all of heaven is, and the song, millions of voices are singing, I've been redeemed, I've been redeemed. I'm saying, oh God, let me be there. Let me sing that. I want to attain that. That's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I want. Anyway, that's Isaiah 12. That's what it's about. Next week we're going to see what it says. But let's worship the Lord today. God, I love you, Jesus. God, I thank you, Lord. God, I thank you, Jesus. God, I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Oh, Lord, we thank you, God. Let's just take a moment. I know I preached a long time, but just for 2 or 3 minutes, let's all gather around the front. If you want to come, nobody has to, but we just stand. All we're going to do is just stand and just pray for a few moments, let our minds be on God, and then we're going to dismiss. But come on down for a few moments.
Stand in your holy presence. have your way. Here we stand, hands uplifted high, inviting you, dear Lord, into this place. And we sing hallelujah to the Lamb, hallelujah to the great I Am, King of kings and Lord of lords. We worship and adore your holy name.
One more thing here is that, remember I told you that in Isaiah, on one side it's a curse, but then on the other side it's a blessing, and you're saying, why, it doesn't seem like it makes sense. Well, it just depends on who. Could you imagine if you were King Ahaz out there looking at that water supply? Wonder, man, or is that water supply going to get blocked off? Is that the way they're going to conquer us? What am I going to do? And here comes Isaiah along, and he brings his son with him by the name of Shear Jashub, which means only a remnant is going to return. If you were King Ahaz, that's horrible news, isn't it? King Ahaz? When Assyria is done with you guys, only a remnant is going to remain. That's bad news, isn't it? That's a curse. But Brother Lloyd, if you were a God-fearing, God-believing man, that name would be comfort, saying, listen, we're going to be all right. A remnant shall return. Thank you, God. We're going to be okay. You know, it just depends on which side do you want to be on. It's kind of like that time, was it Joshua said, you know, choose this day. Who whose side are you going to be on? You're going to be on the Lord's side. Whose side are you going to be on? Oh, God, in Jesus' name. Let's worship the Lord one more time. God, I thank you, Jesus. God, I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you are so worthy. Lord, you are so worthy. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.